All right, season two, episode one, Whiskey Throttle Radio, Anaheim's this weekend. I am so pumped for that, and I'm pumped for this show and for you guys to listen to it. We have Pennsylvania native Brock Pappy on to talk about his rookie season racing the outdoors and his plans for 2019. We also talked to Billy Scharf, and he helps us break down the 2019 Supercross season. We kind of preview that for you guys. But before we get in all that, shout out to Blood Lubricants coming on again for a sponsor in 2019. As you know, they make high quality lubricants and oils, but they got some new stuff too, such as chain lube, degreaser, detailer. They got a lot of cool things, so make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com. And if you use the promo code WHISKEY at checkout, you'll get 25% off your order, so they want to help you out as well. Also, shout out to Risk Racing. They got a lot of great line of innovative products, and make sure to check them out at riskracing.com. As for us, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. You know the deal. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. And, yeah, let's go. Right now, one of the top young riders new to the pro ranks, it's Brock Pappy. What's up, man? How's it going?
Good, man. Glad to be on the show here. Brock Pappy here, and yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Before we get too far into it, though, I have to ask. I know you're from Pennsylvania, but I always kind of think of you like a Florida kid. You spend a lot of time in both, huh?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then back in 2015, I moved to Florida for a couple years, and the last part of my amateur ranks of racing, and after that, 2017, end of that, I've actually moved back up to Pittsburgh for my first year in the pro ranks, and I still have a house in Florida, and then we have a house up here, so I still train in both, but I'm mostly in Pittsburgh, so.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm actually, we were talking a little bit earlier, I'm from Florida, but I just moved here to North Carolina, so trying to adjust the cold. I don't know how you guys do it living up north, but I salute you for it.
Yeah, so actually, I ride an indoor up here in Butler, switchbacks, kind of, that's the only place we have for indoor. That's close to me.
I gotcha.
So I ride up there a couple times a week, and it gets the job done. It's a very good indoor track, but yeah, the cold weather, it stinks, but you get used to it after time when you're a snowboarder and everything else. So
that is true. That does make a lot of sense, especially when you can go out and have fun in it. But, you mentioned you made your pro debut this year at High Point. I assume that's definitely gotta be your home track. How'd your, debut season go for you?
So yeah, High Point was the first national for me. And, it's only 45 minutes south of my house here, and it went great. First practice I qualified, and I was up in like top 10, top 15 qualifying, and then I got set back to closer 20 area, or 17th, 18th, and then second session I went back out and kind of was just like, all right, we're in a good position, I'm not going to push it, and I came around a corner and hit this one jump and had a kicker on it, and I flipped and landed right on my low back, and that kind of set the tone for the day for me, which was a bummer because I was feeling so good in practice before that. And then I went into the first moto and rode like 12th, I think, for 15 minutes, and my back just, it blew out. Yeah. And I had to pull off. And then the second race, I gave her a go, and I think I was, between 10th or 15th for another 15, 20 minutes, rode very strong, and I kind of hit a wall 18, 20 minutes in and kind of fell back. So, but it was still a great first round. It was a building point, and yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned, I was there actually watching, and first of all, that track was so gnarly. I rode it like 2 years ago on amateur day, and obviously being from Florida and stuff, the hills kind of got me, but the you know, the, just the ruts there alone are super gnarly. But you talk about, you know, you qualified in the top 20 or near the top 20, and you're running 12th. It has to be, you know, a great feeling to know, like, your speed's there, you know. Obviously, you had a little bit of an injury, getting hurt in practice, just, you know, getting banged up. But it had to be, had to feel good to know your speed was there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was the thing, you know, when I first came off, and everybody, the whole crew and stuff, were like, yeah, that's pretty cool to see you up in the top 15 for qualifying, you know, for the first one. And it really made me, you know, stoked to, you know, hear that. And it definitely made my confidence boost up a lot. And then until I had that crash, but that was unfortunate. But, you know, the speed was there, I mean, all season, but you know, stuff just didn't go my way, and stuff did go the way. But, you know, it was a great season, though. I mean, honestly, building point, so.
Yeah, and I see you got in the points at Redbud, too, which had been cool. As far as Redbud goes, what's it like racing in that atmosphere? Because it is just one big party out there.
Yeah, well, Redbud was one of my favorite tracks growing up, because all growing up, I still lived in P, and it's only a five-hour drive over there, and we used to race there a lot for qualifiers, regionals, local races, and I was stoked to go there for the national. And, yeah, I qualified 12th. There, and first moto was running really strong there, and had actually a tip over running up front and set me back way back because I couldn't get the bike started. And by the time I got going, I think I got 19th or 20th, but it was still a top 20. I'll take it after a crash. And it was a good race. I mean, I loved it. And second moto didn't go as planned, but that's probably the best race of the year, I think, for most of pro riders out there. Probably got to agree with that.
Yeah, so. It seems to always be the favorite for, you know, the riders and the fans, definitely. I was there for the Destinations, and it was, man, it was crazy. And it's kind of a bummer, dude, with Unadilla and Ironman being total mutters. You know, you kind of want to, like, you're building so much, and then those two out of the last two races are kind of a wash. But what was it like riding in those conditions?
Yeah, honestly, I wasn't prepared for that, because those were, like, actually mud races. Like, it wasn't just muddy. It was really muddy. Actually, Unadilla and Ironman, they were both pretty similar. I think Ironman was worse. But, Unadilla was great. I actually struggled qualifying, got through. And actually, the first moto, I was running eighth or ninth the whole moto. And with only a couple, maybe 10 minutes left, I cross-rutted, and the bike went right on top of me, and I got stuck and pushed me way back in the 20s. But, I mean, I probably had a top 10 easily that moto, and that was a bummer. And then we actually didn't go out for the second moto because we just made a good call because it just was so bad, and I wanted to save the bike for the next weekend. And I believe Creek was the next weekend. And actually, I was sick there. I got sick the day of, what was unfortunate. And still made both motos, and it was decent. It was okay. I think mid-20s, but it was a building. And then, yeah, we went over to Ironman the next weekend, and that was a quagmire. I mean, mud. And, I can just kind of survive that race and got through it. So,
yeah, that was just a nutty race. One of my buddies, Jeff Walker, he races the 250 class. He got 11th in that first moto there, and he said it was just an absolute shit show, like bikes everywhere, and I couldn't imagine, like, it's one thing to try and ride through it, and it's another thing to actually try to battle and race for position, you know?
Yeah, it was super gnarly. Like, I think I did a lap and a half for practice. I went out there and just sent it for one lap and pulled off, and I got through, luckily, because I only did one lap, and the motos were crazy. My buddy, I think, qualified third in the 250 class, and because he got that first B practice, and we kind of got screwed because the track got worse and worse after that first practice for the 250s, because it went like BA and then AB. Yeah. So, other than that, that was definitely the hardest race I've ever done in my whole entire life.
My buddy, I don't know if you know Dylan Rash, but he was working with the Butler Brothers team, and he was sending us videos of the people out in practice, and it looked no fun.
No, it was not fun at all.
So I see you rode the 450 for your debut year. What was the reason behind that instead of going 250?
So I wanted to do the 50, but we went ahead for, honestly, cost reasons, because I was pretty much on my own for outdoors. So I was like, you know what, let's do the 450. Actually, Bliss Motorsports, they gave me two bikes for the year practicing a race. And it was just, I didn't want to get into on my own spending thousands and thousands on motors, and didn't want to go that route. So I did the 450. So I think that was, I think it was good to the 450 because it got me to know, like, all right, these Tomacs and the Rocks into the world and stuff. It showed me, okay, this is how they do it, and they're gnarly. But you know what? I'm going to drop down to the 250 class for the next year, and hopefully that'll be better for me.
Yeah, and you know, I think one thing, too, with 450s, obviously, like you talked about, you don't want to spend thousands and thousands on motors. One, just rebuilding motors in the first place because, obviously, they're not going to last as long. And then, two, just building a competitive motor where in the 450 class, you have so much power stock, you know, you don't have to do as much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of these guys, I'm pretty sure on the factory teams, are their bikes are pretty much close to stock. I mean, yeah, their motors are done up and stuff. They got all the titanium stuff in there, and they got their own facade, but whatever they do. But I think they're pretty much close to stock because if you would mod a 450, I don't know how you'd hang on to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you would mod a 250.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take it way back here, Brock. How did you get into motocross? How did you, you know, start racing and riding?
My dad grew up riding and racing, and when I was like 2, 3, I got a little quad, and then going on 3 and 4, I started on a PW and kind of just set the tone from there, and just gradually got better. And actually, my dad still rode, and then until I got like to the end of 50s, going on to 65s, my dad then stopped, and then that's when he put it all into me, and we just, you know, we were at all the nationals, we were gone every weekend. You know, I've traveled for Team USA twice over in Belgium and France, and was honored to ride for them, and just kind of went up from then. And yeah, just how it was.
Yeah, and you know, looking at your amateur results here, you had a pretty damn good amateur career. So you have a Loretta's title. How's that?
Yeah, you know, it was great because in 2016, I signed with Yamaha right before 2016. I did a year with them on the schoolboy classes, and I was feeling so good up to then, and then I broke my collarbone that year right before Loretta's, and that set the tone for that. And then I signed with Suzuki for 2017, and yeah, I mean, I won Mammoth and California Classic Junior Indoor Series, Loretta Lynn's. I mean, I had a phenomenal year, and it was a bummer because I was looking to stay with Suzuki, and it just wasn't that time. And I thought after Loretta's, I thought I had a good chance to get on like a JGR team or something, and it didn't work out. It was unfortunate, but 2017 was a really good year for me in Suzuki.
And you I saw you race in Monster Cup too. What was that like? You know, you race it three times actually, and two super minis and an all-star. What's it like kind of going up there and racing on the track with the big dogs?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, when I was on a super mini, it was like, wow, like everything was so big and stuff, and I had a lot of fun on the super minis, and I think my last time was on the super mini, I got like a top five, and then the 250 all-star class. Actually, I rode a Geico bike. Geico brought me a Honda to ride for that race. Mad Mike Jones set that whole thing up, my trainer, and I had a good race there. It was, I mean, everyone was so close in times and practice, and the first race, I got a terrible start, but I still made it back to eighth. But I mean, I think the leader was only like 3-4 seconds ahead. It was such a close race for the top like 10 guys. Great racing. And then the second moto, I was running in the top 3 to 5 area and pushing up front, and kind of overshot a triple in, and kind of just threw me right over the bike. The suspension was really soft, so didn't really, it was national suspension, so kind of didn't suck it up very well and threw me right over and actually broke my finger, so I was out of that race. But honestly, it was a good experience.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a cool event overall. Something I just thought of, though, do you feel like they kind of, the tracks have been easier for Monster Cup? Because I remember, like, the first couple years they had it, those super minis, man, they were crashing all over the place just because the jumps were so big and it was so technical. But you kind of don't see that as much anymore. So just, you know, asking your opinion, do you feel like the tracks, they've gotten maybe a little easier over there?
Yeah, quite frankly, I think this last Monster Cup, because I did 2 years ago, but this last one, I thought it was kind of a joke, honestly. I mean, I think super minis hit everything, tripled everything, and, you know, I don't want to see it to where kids are getting hurt and they're making the whoops 10-foot, 15-foot tall, by all means. You know, these big whoops. But, you know, I think it could have been more challenging. But back when they first started Monster Cup, when, like, Webb and Cinturillo, when they were on Super Minis, I think 2011 or something, I mean, that track was gnarly. I mean, it looked, like, straight up and down. And then even my when I was doing it on Super Minis, it was still pretty beefy and gnarly. And then actually when I did on the 250, it just gradually gets easier and easier and easier. So, I mean, yeah, but I can definitely agree with you on that for sure.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like that even, you know, the amateur, for the amateurs, the racing is always good at that event. But even the past couple of years, I guess the battles, especially in the pro class, the battles for the lead and stuff really don't shape up because it is, the track is more simple. So everything's, you know, everybody's doing everything. So, yeah, it's cool to get your opinion on that because it's something I just thought of. So, what are your 2019 plans, Brock? We're doing Supercross?
So, right now, I'm going to be doing just some, like, arena cross stuff, like the Kicker Arena Cross series and other kind of off-brand arena crosses. Kind of just going to I don't think I'm going to do Supercross this year. I still have one more point to get on my Supercross license from Arena Cross that I need to get. So I'm going to plan on doing Indianapolis for that, and then I might do Nashville Supercross and potentially New York.
Okay.
But right now I'm just going to do little indoor money races, and then after that I'll have time to get ready for the Nationals and actually High Point. Yeah, again, I won't do the West Coast ones, but I'll probably go to Florida and train for a couple weeks and then do the Nationals on the 250.
Yeah, that sounds like a, you know, a great plan. What do you think about that? They added a Florida National to the series. Man, I think it's going to be hot as shit there, huh?
Yeah, well, WW to me is a track that I've raced a couple of times on mini bikes and big bikes. I don't love it for a reason that it's really fast. I've seen a lot of people get hurt there. There's a few tracks I'm not a fan of. I'm just being honest here, and WW is one of them. I'm not a huge fan of it. I like the jumps and stuff. It's fun and all, but I think that if they're gonna have a national there, because when they had that GP there a couple years back, I mean, it was just wide open everywhere. Yeah. And I think for the nationals, I think they need to find some more turns to put in and some slow it down. And I think it would be great. I mean, it's gonna be hot. Obviously, it's gonna be the hottest one probably of the year. But no, I mean, the other track that they took out, I think it was Mill Creek. They're replacing it, if I'm correct. I'd rather probably race at a WW for sure.
I gotcha. The one thing about WW that I went to GP as well as a spectator, and the one thing I didn't like, the spectating wasn't as good. You know, at least with Muddy Creek, it was kind of down in that valley, and you could kind of see the whole track, but WW, you really couldn't see much. One, because it's flat, it's Florida, and the jumps were so big, you couldn't see the other side of the track.
Yeah, right. And then they have that big single in the middle that covers the whole track for the spectators on the other side. So, like I said, it's a cool, like, scrub roll in that tabletop. But honestly, for spectating purposes, I think National, I would take them out and put it something else in there. I mean, other riders could disagree. I mean, I'm just saying personally, for people that are coming to watch us all race, I think they should cut that roller in half for sure, because that takes out half the track, that thing. It's a huge mountain.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One thing I was talking to, so I was talking to my buddy Jeff. He rides, like I said, really 250 class. And down in Southwest Florida, where I was from, we had a super sandy track. And he said our local track was way sandier than Southwick. Do you feel like WW is sandier than Southwick, or not really?
Actually, I've never been to Southwick,
okay,
so I really can't say much on it. But it looks more of a hard-packed bottom and a sandy top. So it looks like when it gets down in the base, it gets very slippery with sand on top. But I think WW will be sandier because I think it's like more loamier all through. Just from looking at Southwick to riding WW. So, like I said, I've never raced Southwick. Okay. So.
And dude, WW is going to be so soft because you know it's going to rain. It's June in Florida. Like it rains every day. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's honestly, it might be a little bit better with some, I wouldn't say too much where it's muddy, but a nice wet sand won't hurt it. I'd rather ride a little bit more wet than only dry. So.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Well, all right, Brock, before I let you go, man, who do you want to thank for, you know, getting you out to the track?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my my mom and dad, my sister, my girlfriend, the Clock family, Clockworks Chiropractic, Mercedes Motorsports, Honda, O'Neill, Blue Optics, Dunlop Tires, Mika Metals, Moto Seat, Hinson Clutches, FMF, my trainer, Mike Jones, my mechanic, Andy Hollick, UFO helmets, OGO gear bags, EVS, everybody else. Yeah, thank you.
All right, cool, man. Thank you. Thank you very much, man. You have a good night. I want to talk to you guys about oil, and not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood Lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high-quality synthetic lubricants since 1983 and is constantly pushing the bar for high-quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com, that's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. All right, he hasn't been on since Motocross of Nations, but he's back. Supercross is back. It's Billy Scharf. What's up, Billy?
What's going on, Curtalicious? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, just enjoying the holidays. You got your Christmas, you got New Year's, and then you got A1.
Absolutely, man. It's my favorite time of the year, and I can't wait. I'm excited to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a good year. You're always hoping. Everyone, you always talk deep field. Class is stacked, but kind of seems a couple rounds in, we have some injuries. And unfortunately, breaking news for me, I just saw it right before we went on. Zach Osborne out with the collarbone. It's a pretty big bummer.
Yeah, man. Hopefully that doesn't start some type of, domino effect. It's unfortunate, but collarbone 4 to 6 weeks, and it's still going to be a good lineup. So I'm excited to chat about it.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, a couple days away. Let's just, start right off. You have your four heavy hitters, in my opinion, and obviously that's Anderson, Muskin, Tomac, and Roczen. Out of those four, who is your favorite, Billy?
Yeah, I think it's Eli Tomac for sure. I think this is his year to win the title. I think he puts it all together this year, and there were some rumors of a little injury there, maybe off the bike for some time, but I think this is the year Tomac doesn't kind of beat himself, which he's done the last 2 years, and I think he takes it home.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it's his year to win. I think it's been his year to win the past 2 years, but obviously a little mishaps here and there. He has to get it done this year. I think he's the odds-on favorite, but if he doesn't, man, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, a lot of pressure, but I think he's figuring it out, and you look at the amount of races he won the previous 2 years and wasn't able to get a championship. If he can just limit those bad days, I think the title should be his pretty easily. But, who knows what version of Jason Anderson, who knows Ken Roczen, and then, Marvin Muskin working with, the Cobra, David Villeman. So maybe he can find another gear. And either way, those four guys, I think it's going to be awesome, man.
Yeah, talking about Muskin, I think, a lot of people might think he's the second best guy, but I don't know what you've been hearing, but I hear he's pretty banged up and been off the bike a lot.
Yeah, knee injury, not good, I think if David Villeman can fix the whoop speed, that's really the only place he's been hindered at some of the rounds where the whoops get really big. Proven race winner, proven that he's fit. We'll know. Right out the gate these first couple rounds, which version, if he's going to be a contender.
Another guy out of those four who you're real curious about is Ken Roczen. Full off season for him. Obviously, he was dealing with that gnarly arm injury, and then his deal with Cooper Webb last year, whatever, prompted that. So he had some injuries all last year and obviously the year before. I am going to go out on a limb here and say Roczen wins two out of the first three. I think he's going to be really good starting off. Obviously, I think Tomac might have a little adjustment with the new bike and if he was injured or not, but I think Roczen's going to be really strong at the beginning.
Yeah, this one is really a big question mark for me. If he figures it out and he gets back to the form, he's one of those guys you just can't count out. I hope he does. I really do, because he's the one guy that can kind of get inside Tomac's head, but we just don't know. I mean, you know, you look at the way he was at the Donations, you know, some good motos in the off season, but wasn't able to really show the old Ken Roczen. But a full off season, I'm rooting for him, and I think it's one of the coolest comeback stories. Hopefully he caps it off and gets back and wins some races. And guy's so talented, so you can never count him out.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, you want to, obviously, before he got hurt, he was killing everyone, and was probably the best guy. So it'd be, you know, really awesome to see him get back to that level. And then talking about him, fourth out of those four, it's the defending champ, Jason Anderson. Quiet, haven't heard a lot of things from him this offseason, haven't really seen a lot of even social media posts or anything like that. So who really knows how he's going to be when he shows up? Is he going to have the quote-unquote like Super Bowl hangover, or is he just going to come out swinging like last year?
Yeah, my prediction with Anderson, I think he gets better. I think he finds the next gear, and hopefully he doesn't injure himself, you know, getting to that next level. He can keep it in control, and I think he's definitely going to win races if he can really battle Tomac and beat Tomac when Tomac's at his best and kind of assert himself. You know, last year there is a little bit of an asterisk with Tomac, you know, injuring himself, missing one of the rounds. Either way, Anderson was amazing, but I think he finds that next gear, able to challenge Tomac on Tomac's good nights. If he does, man, we're in for a treat. And I just have this feeling that Anderson just feels like he belongs up there, and he's going to like that number one plate. That's my gut. I think he's primed for it, and I'm ready for it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember the last time we came into a season with four guys who could legitimately win this thing. So that's really exciting. Other than those four, do you see anyone else even winning a race?
Yeah, I do. I have Justin Barcia winning one this year, maybe two. And I think there's some other wild cards. You know, somebody's going to come out of nowhere, whether it's Hill or maybe Cooper Webb finds his mojo. I don't know if Cooper Webb's able to win one, but Hill, Barcia, I have both of those guys down for a win. And there's a couple other guys I'm sure we'll get to that you just have no idea what you're going to get, man. But I'm excited. If you look down the list of the amount of, you know, 250 titles, the amount of race winners, I think it's going to be good. A lot of guys are really you're hearing a lot of good things about him. It sucks for Osborne. You know, I really wanted to see what he can do. And now, you know, he's going to be 4 or 6 weeks off the bike, come in and not be probably in the prime shape that he's in right now. So maybe probably looking towards the end of the year before we even see what Osborne was capable of.
Yeah, and you mentioned Barcia, and I kind of see him as the leader of that next pack. Guys like himself, Blake Baggett, you have to throw Justin Brayton in there. He won a race last year. Cooper Webb, those kind of guys, and or Cole Seely as well. I don't know if Barcia's going to win a race, but I can definitely see him on the podium quite a bit. He gets a good start and one of those two out of those four top guys go down, I could see him pulling it off for sure. Last year, you know, you kind of saw him kind of reinvent his career. So it'd be interesting to see if he can keep building off that.
Yeah, no, I mean, podiums for sure. He was a podium threat right there. You know, if you remember before the hand injury, he was right in the mix. Tomac, Roczen, those guys weren't really getting away from him. He was riding really well. So I got him down for a win. I think he kind of gels with that Yamaha for whatever reason. I think he can certainly mix it up, and if he throws the Bam Bam swag in there and stirs the pot with the title favorites, it could be good.
And your boy Cooper Webb, huge question mark. I'm interested to see him on that KTM, and if maybe training down there at Baker's Factory and all that can really jumpstart his 450 career, because we really haven't seen too much.
Yeah, this is a, you know, this is one that could go either way, and I don't think anybody would be surprised. I mean, you know, maybe a podium or two for the year. You know, the amount of potential that he had coming out of the 250 ranks, if he can find that fiery flair, you know, which we all want. I mean, as a fan of the sport, I'm not particularly a huge Cooper Webb fan, but if he finds the flow and the new training program and all the things kind of fall into place and he gets that confidence, you know, I could see him winning races. But I could also see him getting a 10th. Huge question. A lot of questions to be answered, man, but I'm excited to get going. And I think we won't really know till, I don't know what your take is on this. I think round three or four is when, you know, the hype kind of settles down and we kind of see who's who and who's really ready to go for 17 rounds.
Yeah, I think it takes, like you said, three or four rounds. I think once you get Glendale, Oakland round, is when you really start to see. What about Justin Brayton, dude? What's he, probably 35 now. Won a race last year at Daytona. Was one of the coolest things I've ever seen at a Supercross. Can he mix it up and maybe get some of those Triple Crown wins or something?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he's proven it at Daytona. A lot of things have to go his way. You know, that race was carnage. But, you know, winning a lot of the off-season races, the guy just continues to kind of rewrite the rule book. You know, everybody talks about Chad Reed being old. I mean, Brayton's right there. Found a good home with MCE, and the guy's killing it. And he just kind of always finds his way. I mean, I was looking at the points. I mean, the guy finished, I think, fourth in the points.
Fifth, yeah.
You know, which, yeah, fourth or fifth. And it's just unbelievable for a guy that took the path he did. And he's been a mainstay. So, yeah, I think he could certainly mix it up in the podium. And, well, you know, a lot of things have to go his way with the track style. And but just another name of many. I mean, just these guys are fighting over 3/4 tenths of a second every lap. I can't imagine the pressure and the intensity. And just hopefully they stay healthy. Hopefully the tracks are good and makes for good racing.
You know, another guy, he showed some flashes of brilliance last year, three podiums in a row at the beginning of the season. And then he had a little bit of injury, but came back on at the end. Blake Baggett, he's obviously a way better outdoor guy than he is Supercross, but he's kind of starting to find his way. I could see him mixing up on the podium a little bit next year.
Yeah, certainly a few podiums, you know, in there. You know, hopefully he can stay. He's another one. Kind of let us down all last year. A couple good rides. But, yeah, he's found his flow with that team. And, yeah, certainly a podium threat. I think we'll see him mainstay in that fourth to seventh spot, which is going to be super, super good racing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. You saw him mixing up there. And, you know, we know it's Blake Baggett. He's definitely has a speed. Cole Seeley coming off that huge injury in Tampa last year. Missed half the Supercross season, all of outdoors. But has been riding a lot lately. You know, did some of those off-season races in Europe. Didn't know if he was even going to race again and kind of decided, you know, this. I wanted to come back. I want to still do this. I think he's going to be good because I think he's had a lot of pressure on him. I think him and Anderson got compared a lot because they battle a lot in 250s. So I think maybe some pressure off, and Cole Seeley has a really good year, I think.
Yeah, man, hopefully he comes into it with the right mindset. I'm sure he's got a whole new appreciation for being on the motorcycle with, you know, a career-threatening injury. Certainly got the speed, got the skill, put in the work in the offseason. He's one of those guys, if he can get a start and get a couple good laps under his belt, you know, he's proven he can stay up there. So it's just another name to throw in the hat. He's on a good bike, and I'm happy that he's back, and pretty cool to see Honda stick behind him.
Yeah, for sure. Real cool by Honda and Troy Lee and all that. Let's talk about some rookies here. Obviously Osborne out, big bummer. So we'll kind of leave him out of this for now, but Savatgy, Hill, and Plessinger, rank them 1, 2, 3 right now.
I'm going Hill. I think Hill's a guy that can win. I don't know what it is. Found the flow on that 450. I'll go Hill, Plessinger, Savatgy. At Plessinger, I have no idea what we're going to get. It could be a match made in heaven. But I kind of think he's going to take this slow approach and not try to be a hero right out of the gate. But Savatgy was amazing at the Monster Cup. But, you know, a lot of guys have done that. You throw whoops, you throw different format. You know, who knows? But they're all really impressive, and some awesome names to throw into the mix. But I think Hill, as I said, I have Hill winning a race. I know that's a pretty bold statement. We just saw, you know, is it a one-hit wonder with Tampa last year? But I don't think it was. I think that kid's just amazing on the 450, and he's an amazing supercross rider. So,
yeah, I'm not buying the whole Monster Energy Cup Savachi hype. You know, we've seen Mike Alessi go out there and crush it before. So, I mean, nothing against Mike, nothing against Mike, but Mike's obviously had his supercross results aren't stellar. So, I'm not buying it, but I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be consistent. You know, I think he'll be a 5-8 guy on some good nights. Maybe I can't even see him getting top five. I honestly can't. But, you know, I hope he proves me wrong. The thing about Hill is Hill can go out and win and then the next week get 11th and with no reasoning behind it, just because. So I do think Hill is a way better 450 rider. He can pull out some of those big combos and stuff like that. He's been training in North Carolina. I live here now, so he's probably going to be faster because of that. So yeah, Hill, I think Hill will be good. I think if it does go his way, Hill can, if it's a really gnarly track with a lot of big rhythms, I think Hill could possibly win. I don't know. I'm not really, maybe it's cause I haven't heard much, but the Plessinger, there's no real hype around it or anything. I think he'll be good outdoors, and obviously when it goes east, he'll be good, but I feel like it might take him a little while to get used to that 450.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, man. You don't really know what you're going to get at this point. And I'm just hyped to go racing because, you know, it's funny how hyped up we all get, like you were saying earlier. So stacked. Yeah, but it could go either way, man. You know, some of these guys could – somebody's going to come out of nowhere. I don't know who you think is going to come out of nowhere, but somebody's going to shock the world, and we'll find out. I mean, what's your thoughts? Who do you think the big wild card is?
Perfect segue into this next little segment. I have four guys right here with a huge question mark next to their name. Are you ready for it?
Yes, sir.
Chad Reed, Mookie, Dean Wilson, and Vince Freeze. Who knows?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we go down the list. You put this on. I mean, just making the main, if everybody stays healthy, just getting it. There's going to be some big-name guys not making the main event. You know, a guy like Bogle, a guy like Freeze, a guy, you know, I hate to say it about Chad Reed, but I think there might be some nights where he goes to the LCQ. I don't know what we're going to get with Chad Reed, but those names, man, Mookie, I got Mookie fever. I'm hearing good things. I know he had a big crash. What was that, over in Italy?
Yeah.
I got a feeling, man, Mookie's got so much talent, but I'm, dude, 20 laps at that level is just, you got to be so dialed. It's just ridiculous, the margins that these guys are pushing. And like I said, a couple tenths of a second. I mean, if you're getting pulled 4/10 of a second, 10 laps, and you're done, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's been Mookie's biggest weakness, you know, his whole career, really. But yeah, I've been hearing great things. I hooked those guys up with some Risk Racing whole shot gates. So if they get good starts, nice. It's because of me. So I think Mookie will be a 5-8 guy by midseason consistently. Stamp that. Chad Reed, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think we see some of that blow by Marvin and the whoop speed in the heat races. Mm-hmm. You know, some flashes in the heat races. What are they, 6 minutes, 8 minutes?
Yeah.
But yeah, the 20 minute thing is just gnarly. I'm with you. I think sixth is a win for Mookie. Maybe he gets a fourth. You know, if things go his way.
We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but it would not surprise me if Rockstar Husky slides Dean Wilson's bike underneath the tent. He's a fan favorite. Osborne's hurt. I know we talked, it's only a couple weeks, but it wouldn't surprise me. Maybe he's not on the team, but he's parks with them. They transport his bike and stuff like that. That would not surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, with the setup he's got, working with Rockstar, letting the Rockstar mechanic build his bikes, why not put him under there anyway? It's not costing them anything. The guy is probably the most, maybe aside from Chad Reed, probably the most popular guy in the pits. I mean, after the whole Malcolm. Grandpa Earl thing.
Malcolm.
Yeah, Mookie's good, too. You know, Malcolm's certainly popular, but Dino has that flair, man, with the Grandpa Earl. I mean, he made himself, I was looking at his social media. I mean, almost 600,000 followers. that's big time stuff for that team. And I can't figure out why those guys why they couldn't find a spot for him. But it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, if they put him on Osborne's bike, 4 to 6 week injury, we'll see. At least put him under the 10. I'm with you.
And then, yeah, like you said, Chad Reed, he might struggle. He might be good. It's Chad Reed. You never really know. And then Vince Freeze, man, he was coming on strong at the end of last year. He got a top 10. I think that's his first ever 450 top 10 in Salt Lake. So I can see him being good. Let's just talk a little 250 West here. We'll talk some East when that comes back around. So the big three, I think, for 250s is going to be Shane McElrath, Adam Cincirillo, and Dylan Ferrandis. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the those are my three favorites. I think those guys will all win races. I don't know. Of course, I'm pulling for Adam. I'm hoping he can put it together this year.
Yeah, the thing about both Cincirillo and Ferrandis is they kind of do crash a lot in Supercross. So I could see that haunting both them. And then Shane McElrath just consistently wins his championship, which in the past 2 years really could have been his. He had a mechanical, and then he had a pretty big get off last year in Oakland. But I think if he can get that dialed in, I think he wins it. But yeah, it's going to be a dogfight between those three. And obviously, Adam being a Florida boy, I love, and the huge personality. You talk about Dean Wilson being real popular. I think Adam Cincirillo is probably the most popular 250 rider. So I'd like to see Adam win, but I also would like to see Shane. So
yeah, you look at all three of those guys. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, McElrath, how does he not have a title already? I mean. I remember going to A1 2 years ago, and the guy was just gone. I mean, just destroyed a lot of good riders. Last year, like you said, some mishaps. So all three of them are due. Ferrandis, he's paid to win. I mean, I think all things are leading. A lot of people saying he's the double title threat, going to do what Plessinger did last year. And then you throw Adam, who's probably the fastest, but for some reason isn't able to put it together. It's back-to-back seasons, what, 3 points off the championship? So... another guy that it's just time to win. So I think we're going to be treated if those three guys can stay healthy. But my prediction for the title is Dylan Ferrandis.
And, two other guys who could prove us wrong and get up there and win races are RJ Hampshire and Colt Nichols. I'm very interested to see RJ. I don't think he's ever raced a West. I think he's only done East, obviously being a Florida boy. But, RJ can go out there and, hammer out some podiums the first couple of rounds, and it wouldn't really shock me.
No, yeah, I think he's a podium guy for sure. If he finds like the mojo, maybe gets a win. If those other three guys have some trouble, which in the 250 class can happen, I think he, and Colt Nichols supposedly is on rails at the practice track. That guy can stay healthy. All the injuries he's been through, just to see him back racing is just unbelievable to me. The guy's broken his femur. I mean, you name it.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's completed a full season. He seems always, getting hurt. So if he can put it together, I could see him winning a race. Two other guys I'd say that I'm curious about. One, Jimmy D, second season with JGR. He's good. He had a podium last year. He had a little bit of injuries. I know he got hurt pretty bad at Daytona, but I could see Jimmy D being really good. And then I'm interested in Jacob Hayes. The arena – was he won the championship last year in Arena Cross, I'm pretty sure, on that Cycle Trader Yamaha. Who knows? He can come out here and start knocking off top fives and podiums. No one really knows. He hasn't raced Supercross yet.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm glad you said that because I'm really intrigued by him too. The Arena Cross guys, look at Bowers did pretty good. Obviously, Brayton's a former Arena Cross guy. I think he's going to be a podium guy. I'm glad you threw that name out there. Of course, podium's no joke in his first year full Supercross, so that'd be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I saw him a couple weeks ago. Him and Hart Ramp were out at a track here for it was KTM Ride Day, but they were out in the big track riding, and they both looked really good, really strong. I think they were just now starting to really get into their training. So, I'd be very interested to see. Before I let you go, Billy, which round or new round are you most looking forward to? Denver or Nashville? I think Nashville's gonna be cool. I think I might go to that one.
Yeah, I think we already agreed we're going to Nashville, man. We got to do that. That would be blah, blah. I think that's really cool. It would be a cool city for Supercross. Denver, you know, whatever, to me, no big deal. I think that'll be cool too, but I think Nashville's probably going to be the one I'm going to try to make it up to. But that's one of my favorite cities.
Yeah, country bars, bro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be hanging out with monster chicks like you were at Donations.
Yeah, man. Yeah, baby. Who's your are we going to do title predictions or no? Are you just cutting me off?
Oh, we could. Yeah, I thought we did that already pretty much. You said Tomac and Frandis. I'm going Tomac and McElrath.
Okay. Oh, you didn't tell me McElrath. Okay. So yeah, you're going Tomac. Okay. Okay. How many races does Tomac win?
Seven.
Seven?
Seven.
God, that's unbelievable. What has he won the last 2 years? Like 8 and 10, right?
He's got 17 wins in his last 34 races, so.
Yeah, that's James Stewart's stats, bro.
9-8, 8-9, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Who's the biggest surprise? Biggest surprise for you in the 450 is going to be?
For the 450 class, I think it'll be one of the rookies. I think either Plessinger shocks the world or Justin Hill. I think if Justin Hill is in shape like they're saying and can mentally keep himself in the game, I think we might see a guy that throws it up in there. He's got this quiet confidence.
What about
if he can mix it up with the...
We didn't talk about Bowers much, but I could see him, you know, 5-8 guy.
Yeah, I can't go that far. If he puts it around the top 10 with as many riders are in this field, I don't see Bowers. You get past 12 laps on a supercross track like that, if he takes a ninth, I think that'd be a win for him, on the program that he's on. And I think it's going to be good, man. Where are you watching the race at? You got any plans?
Probably in my apartment, NBC Gold app. I have a... I'm doing dry January, so no alcohol for all of January. So I'll probably just be in my apartment.
you sound like my life, buddy. My life is no alcohol.
Well,
so.
I don't ride dirt
good
bikes.
Good stuff.
I don't ride dirt bikes anymore, so I can't drink. There's no reward after riding for me. So
I've been eating humble pie all week. I've been off the bike for a while. Work has been crazy, just trying to figure some things out. But I decided I was going to put in some laps this week, and I go out to I get to ride with Bollinger and Bryce Koster all week. So it's been when you see a guy of that level, it's certainly you either quit or just sack it up and realize that you got a lot of work to do. But it's certainly humbling riding with a guy of that caliber.
I was going to say, are you riding with them, or are you just on the track at the same time they are?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Man, Bollinger looks amazing on the Husky. Bryce is on a 250 now. It's been a lot of fun, and we're having Supercross chat today, so those guys are into it. Good to see the top off-road guys, and can't wait for this weekend, man. We'll be at Mondin Hill watching the race with the crew, so wish you were there.
Shit, I didn't realize that was this weekend. Man, I miss it. So, if you ever don't start, not riding again, if you want to just send your 350 up here, the way I can keep it warm, we could probably work that out.
Yes, sir.
All right, Billy, thank you so much. And we'll have you on here soon again, breaking down some supercrosses.
All right, buddy. We'll have a good night, and we'll talk after A1, baby.
All right, cool. Later.
Later. We'll be right back.
about to cry. She did a swing and she can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know. What else to do about it? The Jane goes to the store at 8. She walks up. She can't help. She don't mean.